Some of you might remember the opera singer Beverly Sills. She had just given an incredible performance at a matinee, and according to the program, she was going to have another concert at 8 o'clock. And she was being congratulated by fans, and one of them said, "You need to go rest. You have to give another concert at 8 o'clock. Beverly Sills looked at her and said, "No, I don't have to give a concert tonight at 8 o'clock. And the woman looked in her program and said, "Yes, it says right here, you have to give a concert at 8 o'clock. Did you forget?" She said, "Yes, I have a performance at 8 o'clock, but I don't have to give it. I get to give it." What a difference our attitude can make in our existence. I get to give it. She considered it a privilege and a joy to give yet another performance, not an obligation because it said so on a printed bulletin. It wasn't a task or a burden to be endured. It was a pleasure to experience for her. She was doing her best always, as she said, with her God-given talents, and that was to sing. I remember the familiar words from the movie Boys Town. Boy, I'm dating myself today. But it's still, some of the oldies are goodies, aren't they, folks? Remember the story of the boy carrying another boy on his back? He was asked, "Isn't he too heavy for you to carry?" And what's the response? "He's not heavy, he's my brother." Doing things for those we love is never a burden. Lifting the load of another is never heavy. At a presbytery meeting one time in Philadelphia, I overheard two elders speaking at the coffee time at the narthex, and one said, "Boy, you certainly go out of your way to help Mrs. Stevens when she's been so ill. You've been really, really good to her." And the other elder looked puzzled and said, "That's what friends are for." To that elder, the task was not a burden. She was not heavy. He did not have to help her at all. He wanted to help her. His attitude made all the difference. "I am her friend," he was saying. "She isn't my responsibility. It's no burden to help her." The familiar words of the 23rd Psalm we hear, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." Why not? You might think that would be the time of greatest fear, but not for the psalmist. "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The faith of the psalmist changed his outlook on life. That's what faith can do for you. In our scripture lesson, Jesus begins with this text by saying, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, that's not an excuse to go take a nap this afternoon. But Jesus is addressing this text to a specific group of people. He's trying to teach those who are struggling with legal restraints of the Jewish law. They were laboring to be faithful to God, but they were considered faithful only if they followed all 600 rules that were given to them. Then they could be called righteous if they followed them. Text is addressed to those who are trying to find God by being able to say, "I did that, I did that, I did that, I did that." Of course, we don't know anybody who does that. Some people are desperately trying to find God by doing good works. Can't do it. It's addressed to everyone who at some time or another has sought God but always seems to be too far away from God. We all want to know why we are here. What are we supposed to be doing with these lives and our resources? Jesus has a particular burden in mind. He's talking about the labor of finding God. He expressed his gratitude in the passage a little earlier that God hid many things from the wise and understanding, but revealed them to the babes. The psalmist hundreds of years earlier said, "Can you by knowing find God?" And the answer is a resounding no. God cannot be discovered solely by intellectual powers, not by accumulating all the wisdom of the ages. God doesn't appear on demand by an app on your smartphone. Jesus says that all things were delivered to him by the Father, and no one knows the Son fully except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal the Father to. The revelation comes from God. It comes from Christ. Knowledge about God comes when God is allowed to be revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Following all the spiritual laws in the world, or every tenet in the Book of Order, or every point of our confessions, doesn't make a hill of beans, and we still cannot have God in our debt. God is revealed when God chooses to be revealed. But that's not good for people of today. We want instant God right now. Then there's that weird phrase about Jesus inviting us to join him in sharing his yoke. We're not farm people by and large. In doing so, though, Jesus says, we won't become tired from the effort, but we'll find ourselves refreshed for sharing the burden. If we try to carry things all alone, everything seems heavier and heavier. Now, I grew up in rural Colorado, and I remember the first time I saw a team of oxen. Those puppies are big. They're resting on the ground, and the owner was showing them off. And then when it was time to take them home and they stood up, he placed a yoke on them and led them to his truck. And that yoke, when I saw that was not all that light. And that was the only analogy I had to this passage. I'm going, I don't get what Jesus is saying here. If you've ever seen those yokes, they're not all that light. You don't see too many of them when you're born in Chicago. But Jesus was familiar with a yoke, for both he and his father Joseph were carpenters and in all probability made yokes. There is a legend that Jesus made the best ox yokes in all of Galilee, and that from all over the country, people came to him to buy his yokes because they were the best. In those days, as now, shops had their sign above their door, and it has been suggested that the sign above the carpenter shop where Jesus worked might have been, "My yoke fits well." Many of the things that Jesus said came from his experience. He understood, and people around him would understand what a yoke meant. And for Jesus to say that he would wear that yoke with the other person gave them a mental image that they could accept. That Jesus wants to be our yoke partner, not sitting there and he throws it on us and say, go for it. A partner with us. Jesus wants to go work with and for us in the world and is willing to be yoked to us when we are yoked to him. And then we will find our souls are refreshed. Horatius Bonar was one of Scotland's most gifted and talented, powerful evangelical ministers and hymn writers. He wrote 600 hymns, some of which are in our book. But one of his best writings is considered, "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say." comes from 1846, so that's kind of an infant to a 300-year-old church. But what he said is he writes it with children in mind. So despite the simplicity of his writings, the spiritual depth and warmth of this man is also evident. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one. Lay down thy head upon my breast. I come to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." Simple words, but powerful. Then Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Sometimes Christians make it sound like being a follower of Jesus is a burden. They go around with a poor me attitude. Poor little me. They're always rushed or harassed or easily offended or out of sorts and running from one place to another, denying the claim that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I have to do refreshments for under the tree. I have to sign up for flowers. I have to do this. I have to do that. Jesus says to us, if the yoke is not easy or light, maybe it's not my yoke you picked up. If the yoke is not easy and light, maybe it's not the yoke of Christ you've picked up. And most of you have probably been around churches long enough to know the story of a stole. This is our yoke. This is part of the ordination, that when this yoke is placed on your shoulders and when we place it as we preach week after week, it's a reminder that if we're preaching our own words, get out of the pulpit. We are to be yoked with Christ in all that is said and done. But that's the whole purpose of wearing a stole. A man named Bruce Larson wrote a beautiful analogy of taking people to New York. And everybody, of course, wants to go see all the great things that are there. And he was also a famous counselor. And people would come in, just be totally overwhelmed. So he'd take them out of the office, and first of all, he would take them to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. And if any of you have been there, at the entrance of the building is an incredible statue of Atlas. Remember Atlas? All those muscles straining. And he's attempting to hold the entire world on his shoulders. I wish I had a picture of that, but I think most of you have seen that. He's bowed down. He's struggling and straining, and you can see every muscle, but the weight of the world is pushing him down. He's not really pushing it up. So after that, he walks across the street and takes the same person to St. Patrick's Cathedral. There is an altar, and he does this as just an image, and there is a shrine to Jesus as a boy, perhaps about 8 or 9. And he has the entire world held lightly in one hand. Just images, but it's a reminder that with Christ, it doesn't have to be the Atlas that we are yoked to our Lord. We have a choice. We can carry that weight of the world on our shoulders, or we can say, "Help me, Lord, I can't do it alone. Let me sign up because I feel that that is my call for today, that I want to do this." If you're saying, "I have to do this," please don't do it. And for the financial people here, don't freak out. Don't even put your offering in if you're doing it because you have to. That's not what God wants. God wants us to participate lovingly and freely, because out of response for what God has done for us, we need to respond back in gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be part of your ministry, even with our offering. We don't have to love or care about our neighbors. You don't have to share what God has given you. You don't have to feed the hungry or visit the sick or befriend the lonely. You don't have to greet every visitor that walks in the door. You don't have to be compassionate. You get to do it. You get to do that. Just like an opera star getting ready for the next performance, you get to do that. You get to do things on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord walks with us carrying that same yoke with everything that we have to deal with personally. And allowing us at the same time to, maybe we're not the strongest every day, to ask for help. And that's what a community of faith is truly all about. Because when we do it alone, many times things result in failure, and that's no fun. Jesus says if we share his yoke, we're going to find it light, manageable, no matter how difficult the task is. I don't have to preach. I get to preach. And what a joy that is. May each of us find what we get to do with our lives and live them to its fullest. Amen.